and welcome to the Weekly Scroll Podcast. My name is Ryan.
And I'm a space cowboy, but animated like I'm in Ghost in the Shell.
And today we have a very special guest that is Camilla of Crescent Chimera. How are you doing today, Camilla?
Thank you. Really happy to be here. Really excited to talk about the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think, how do we even start this? I mean, congratulations on being extraordinarily funded and who, like, from out of nowhere, you came in and I think the entire scene took notice very quickly to how gorgeous and awesome this project looks. So I guess before we get going, like, who the heck is Camilla and how did you kind of come in and just blow everything up like this?
Thank you. I've been really interested in RPGs for a while, and about 2 years ago or so, I knew I wanted to do like my own thing. So I started this idea of making like a small zine for Zine Month, which was the original idea for Astro Prisma, just like a sci-fi space exploration game with like some faction elements, some story elements included in there too. And yeah, it was supposed to come out a year and a half ago or so, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger. I kept doing more art. I wanted to do more pages. And yeah, over time, I just decided to push the project back and make it as good as I could. And yeah, that's been the rest.
Yeah. And this is your first like TTRPG project ever, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. This is my first RPG anything.
Yeah. And I said it like 10 times before we got started here. That just blows my mind because when you look at this, and anyone that's listening, please go to, you know, check out Asmo Prison on Kickstarter. Obviously, that's why we're here. But the layout is incredible. The art's incredible. I mean, top to bottom, it looks absolutely fantastic. I'm really excited to get it and see how it plays. We're going to talk about the gameplay here a little bit too. But what... I think, and again, I think I said this before the show started, I don't know a lot of people in the space that can do everything that you've done on here as far as the art, the layout, like you're talking about even like learning Blender for some of the graphics, like the maps, like everything. It's incredible. So you said that you do like graphic design on the side. Is that what?
Yeah, on the side. I studied cinematography in university. That was like what I was getting like professional academic training for, like shooting movies, doing special effects, post-production. Yeah, and actually my intention was always to be like a game developer, like video game developer. So my background, like longer term, has been like pixel art, music, and then just learning coding and that sort of thing. And about, I want to say 3-4 years ago, I found out about like indie RPGs, like the whole scene. I fell in love with it immediately. And yeah, from there, I just got the idea to make my own.
Very cool. And yeah. What is your background in like playing tabletop games? Like, what's your go-to game and what games have you been playing?
My go-to game, I would say, I really like sci-fi. I think that's part of the reason why I found out about indie games even, because Dungeons & Dragons is like, you know, it's so big. But if you like sci-fi, it doesn't really offer that. So I feel like if you like science fiction games, you have to go out of your way to like find indie stuff that is like Mothership, Death in Space, something different. And I would say Mothership is like my favorite. It's like the one that really made me fall in love with it. The graphic design, especially in the expansions, like A Pound of Flesh, Gradient Descent, like they're all amazing. And then I got really into solo games. And I would say solo games that I really like, I would say my main one is Miru. I mentioned that a lot. That's like my favorite by far. And then I would say something like 1000 Empty Light by Alfred Valli is another amazing one. The soundtrack of that is really good. I do music, so playing that game with the soundtrack by the side is like one of my favorite experiences with RPGs ever. And yeah, I would say those two. I also really like, I've been getting into like more journaling type games lately. I used to like more like board game type solo RPGs. And yeah, I also really like the games from Mousehole Press. They're the people that do Artifact, Bucket of Bolts, Coreco, they did recently. Yeah, those games are also amazing too.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely a high list to shoot for when you look at the touchstones in your Substack on the Kickstarter page. You know, like you said, Miru Hinokoto is does amazing stuff. I'm so excited to finally get a box for all of it after the new Kickstarter.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, Rune, Notorious, Alice and MC Likes, like you said. I mean, Alfred Valley is an insanely amazing solo game designer.
And just designer,
Yeah, period. Yeah. But great inspirations to have for this, and I assume you fell in love with solo RPGs, and that's kind of why you made your first game a solo RPG. Is that a good assumption?
The thing with like being into RPGs is that I feel like you end up collecting so many without playing them, like going on
Really?
each, going on draft.
I don't
Yeah,
know what
like
you're talking about. I don't. What do you mean?
yeah, like at any month, like I can buy like 5 to 10 RPGs on each that I love, like even small games. And I feel like with solo games, it's much easier to like establish a connection with them. Because I think I've played every single solo game that I own, but with like multiplayer games, it's much harder. You have to find like the right group and have the time for it. Even if you had like the best group that is like super into all these in the games, like you would need days and days to just go through all them. So yeah, like the solo RPGs is just, I feel like it's easier to connect with people because you know they're gonna be playing them. And at least for my first game, I wanted to do that. I want to also do like traditional like multiplayer games too, but for my first game, I thought going solo, it was like a niche market that I could like make something really cool for.
Gotcha. So Astro Prisma, that's why we're here. That's what we're talking about. This is the solo RPG. So what is Astro Prisma?
Astro Prisma is a just solo game. It's mostly focused on space exploration. I feel like that's the defining factor. When I was playing like Mothership, Death in Space, Cyborg, all these other sci-fi games, I had this itch to like, going on a spaceship and like explore different planets, different locations, that sort of thing. And I feel like I didn't really get them from those games. They're more like, you play an adventure in like one specific location. And that's what you is in like a sci-fi setting, but you don't actually go into and explore like the unknown. So I made Astro Prisma very specifically trying to target that. And then I would say the other big element that defines it and makes it different from other games is the faction element. It's very much instead of like a linear story or like an adventure story that you go through, it's different factions. Each one has their own quests, their own storylines. And it's sort of up to you as a player to like decide what you want to side with, what you want to oppose, and sort of build that on your own.
Gotcha. So, exploration is, kind of the focus. That's what you said. So in the game, like what encourages the exploration? Like what is in the game that allows for that?
Well, the game is centered around the core element is this hex crawl map of like a space system. It's sort of like a hexagonal, like 36 tiles. And at the center, you have the star of the system. And every single like ring of hexes around it is like a different area, different ring. And sort of your main goal is to explore that entire system, to fill that map, to see what you find in there. And as the game progresses, it's going to transition more into the faction element of the game, where like instead once you've explored the whole thing, it's about, okay, what faction do I want to have control over these resources in this planet, or what faction do I want to side with in this battle that's taking place in like the middle of space over here? And you sort of increase your like favor with the factions and decide like the fate of the system in that way.
Yeah. Very cool. The factions read really cool too. I loved Warg. You know, I just love the acronym.
Yeah, that's my favorite too.
Like, yeah, I'm like, this is great.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, let's talk about the faction. So what made you want to have, because I love factions. Factions are absolutely fantastic. So many adventures and so many settings. When done well, factions add so much depth to that. What made you want to make the faction element such a central kind of facet of the game?
I would say because it's such an like exploration-centered game, and it's like very open for the player. Like, there's, you don't need to do anything. It's all up to you. Like, if you want to go explore that planet, you can go. If you want to go and fight the first cargo ship you find, you can also do that. It's very open in that sense. My first thought is to sort of take inspirations from video games that do similar things, like games like Fallout New Vegas. I mentioned in the page, for example. That is also a game that, like, you start the game and you can go wherever you want, do whatever you want. They're exploration games at their core. And the way those games usually work is they have the faction to the faction element to add the story, to add more structure and like sort of an overarching narrative to the game, while still remaining like fully open. Like, you can join, leave the faction, do whatever you want. So yeah, it was more in that sense why I decided to add factions. I didn't want to like do like lore dumps to the player, or like do like you have to go to this place and then this place and like follow every path. No, like, I wanted the game to be, I like I said, very open, but also very replayable. If you want to play one time and like join these two factions, next time you play, you can join the other factions and have a different experience.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, like I said, having faction play, you know, especially Fallout, that's such a great example because those are so important in those. And especially in like a game geared on solo exploration, it, like you said, having these overarching narratives and overarching things. I mean, when I think a lot of faction play a game that's not sci-fi at all, I really loved Skyrim for the same kind of way, where like you can pick one and have whole storylines with it. And when you play the game, you could pick the other one. I mean, I always became an assassin and killed everybody every time, but the option was there for other factions, you know? So there are five factions. You know, what are those, kind of just a quick rundown of those?
Yeah, there's five of them. I wanted to do factions that were a little bit, that sort of cover every, not every trope, but like every corner of sci-fi that you want to experience in a game like this, but it sort of be a little different than, you know, like the Star Wars thing of like the Empire is like the faction and then the Rebels. I wanted to do something a little bit different. So I mean, five factions. The first one is Warg, like you said. That is like sort of guerrilla faction, very like very radical sort of eco-terrorist sort of organization. It's a really cool faction, but it's also going to put you in like a very interesting sort of decisions that you're going to have to take, or like have your own ideas or your own standing within the faction. Then there's Corsair Syndicate, which is like your bounty hunter faction, outlaw faction that is going to give you like quests to like, you know, bounty contracts to like go to this planet and kill this person sort of thing. And if you're more an amoral type of player, you can do those things too. There's Medusa Sector, which is like a hacker faction. If you really want to go into like that sort of character, that side of the game, get hacks, increase your character's mind, get a lot of cyber tech, that whole thing. And then there's the Interstellar Federation, which is like a trade federation. If you want, that's for like if you want to be like a space trucker, if you want to do cargo missions, like take these people or like these materials from this factory planet into this space station and that sort of thing. And then the final one is the Synth Arch, which is a little bit more esoteric. It's like it's a faction of androids, robots that like, the whole idea is the world is post-apocalyptic. universe. So it's in space. It's the universe, but it's post-apocalyptic. So the galactic empires, the civilizations have perished thousands of years ago or hundreds of years ago. So a lot of the robots, a lot of the technology is very old, and the AIs and these sort of things have like gone past the point where like they're self-aware. They're trying to figure out like religious questions, like esoteric spiritual things. So it's like this really interesting idea for a faction of like it's centered around robotics and like cyborgs and that sort of thing, but it's also almost like a religious faction in a way.
Yeah.
So, what's if you had to pick your favorite faction of those, what's your favorite one to play with?
My favorite one to play. That's a hard question because I on purpose try to do every single one very fun. And I have this thing where like I know my own like tendencies as a player. Like if I play like something like Dungeons and Dragons, I always try to like make warlocks or sorcerers, and I probably am never gonna pick a warrior. So for this game, because I know that is like my tendency, I want to make the warrior character equivalent in this game extra fun. So even someone like me that doesn't like warriors would have a lot of fun playing a warrior character in a Super Smash, which is in this game is like an eco-terrorist sort of thing. So I would actually say warrior is my favorite one because I really went out of my way to like make it really fun, even for people that don't like combat-centered characters.
Very cool.
Yeah, very cool. I mean, I immediately gravitate towards Corsair Syndicate and Syntharch, but that surprises nobody. Because you're right. We know who we are as players, and I'm very well established as an edgelord piece of shit. So the actual gameplay mechanic, because there's a whole spread here that's stunning. That's like the combat spread. It's one of the first ones I saw that I was like, again, completely blown away. But, you have the six archetypes for characters. There is combat mechanics. As far as the actual gameplay loop with the characters and everything, how does it actually run?
Best way I can describe it, the easiest way to describe it is like it's very similar to a game like Miru, where like you're moving through the map one hex at a time every time you move. In the game, like every time you move a hex is called one cycle. So the idea is that one day is one hex sort of thing. So you move hex by hex, you roll on the tables, you generate what you explore, you get events, encounters, characters, and yeah, you so go exploring one tile at a time. And depending on what you encounter, like sometimes you encounter a ship and you can get into ship combat, you can talk to the other ship, trade, do anything you want. But sometimes you encounter a planet and you can land on the planet, explore the planet, maybe find someone from a faction, talk to them. So it really depends on what you actually find while exploring.
Nice. Yeah, I know you said you were getting more into solo journaling games. I own a million, but I just can't find myself sitting down to be able to do that. My ADHD and everything just it really drives me nuts. I love the solo exploration kind of games. Like I know you said Miro a bunch. Miro is such an amazing game from Hinokoto. So this is definitely scratching like I think the perfect itch and I think the goal you're going for is to have a game like this and get to play in that sci-fi setting, like actually get, you know, those mothership vibes. I just can't tell you how excited I am that, you know, it is an adventure game. There is combat. So how does in a solo game with all of the rolling and stuff like that, how does combat and the character stats and everything come into play?
Yeah, so for combat, there's actually two different systems. You have your character-to-character combat. So like, you know, you get chased by a bounty hunter and you have to like face them. That is one system. And then there's another system for ship-to-ship combat, like space combat. And those sort of work differently. And they try to go for different styles. Character combat is it's more traditional, like similar to other RPGs, because it's a solo game, what you do is you roll on each enemy character has a different table and it's a D10. So you roll a D10 every turn for the enemy and it tells you what they do. And on your turn, you can choose from A big number of actions to do that you can also see in your character sheet. As for space combat, it's a little bit different. That is actually very inspired by the game FTL, Faster Than Light, the video game.
Amazing game.
Yeah. So you see the layout of your ship that you can like customize, or you can also just buy like a pre-made ship from the book. You see the layout of your ship and you have different modules. And the way it works is that you roll, there's like a dice pool system. So depending on the energy that your ship's reactor produces, you get more dice or less dice. So you, say you roll like 3d6, and then you allocate those d6 results to the different. So for example, you put two, a five and a six on your weapons to do damage. And then you put a three on your shields, so to defend your ship from the enemy attacks. And then on the enemy turn, you roll d10 on their table. You do what it says on the table. And then again, it's your turn. So there are two different systems. I try to make it varied so it never gets boring. You're going from one to the other, and it can make it fun for like longer playing sessions. And yes, ship combat is more tactical, again, more FTL centered, and the regular is more traditional RPG combat.
You have some great
Gotcha.
touchstones on this. Like, I love FTL. I love Ghost in the Shell. Like, we all love Alfred Valley. Like, this is like, I'm really incredibly excited to get this in hand and play it. So, beyond the book, what other rewards come like as part of the Kickstarter? I see there's a lot of other stuff on here.
Yeah, so when I wanted to do like the expansions or adventures for this game, I just kept thinking about Mouse Raider because like my favorite way of doing expansions where like you can get this pack of like a bunch of small expansions that are like trifles, and each one is super unique, super, it has its own aesthetic, its own graphic design, its own setting almost. So when I wanted to do an expansion for Astro Prisma, instead of like just one sign that's like 30 pages, I said I want to do like seven expansions that are like each super unique, super different from each other. And that's basically what you can get. You can get there's a pack, the expansion pack that you can get in the deluxe edition, which is five trifold expansions. And then if you get the Astromancer edition, which is like the everything bundle, you get an additional expansion in there, which is a little bit bigger. It has like its own setting, its own location sort of thing. And also because we hit a stretch goal, every single person that backs the Kickstarter now is going to get a free expansion. So even if you back just the book, the most basic physical tier, you're going to get a free expansion. That is written by Jess Levine, which is the author of Planet Fist and so many other amazing games. And I'm super excited to like see what she comes up with to do the graphics for that one. Yeah.
Yeah,
That's a lot.
Jess Levine's fantastic. Yeah.
There is so much in this project. Like, not that it's like too much or anything. It's impressive how like filled in this is, like all the way. I know we keep saying, like, wow, for your first project, this is so impressive, but like also, wow, for your first project, this is really so impressive.
Well, I mean, there's the journal that comes with it as well, right?
Yeah.
Love a
And then
journal.
there's poster map. I think did the stretch goal, I think, have you hit all the stretch goals? Like, isn't there going to be a soundtrack now as well?
There's gonna be a soundtrack, there's gonna be an online generator, there's gonna be other extras. I got updated because we just hit 90K today, and I don't think I've updated it since we hit 60K. So there's like even more things are gonna come in down the pipeline. So yeah. There's a bunch of stuff. The next thing I'm looking forward with the stretch goals is I'm trying to get it in like a VTT sort of software. So you can play the entire game fully digital, fully integrated. And yeah, especially for a solo experience. Like I feel like that's gonna be so much fun.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on, like, are you thinking about doing a VGT that already exists and just making a module for it, or having like your own
Yeah,
kind of like website
the,
for it, or?
the idea is to make a like a to integrate it in Alchemy VTT, if you're familiar
Okay.
with
All
that
right.
one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but I
Yeah.
also like every single thing that I make for the game, I want it to be really accessible for people. So even like if you don't play in the VTT, if you just want to play digitally, like all of the character sheets are gonna be like editable, like writable. So you can edit them, change them. If you get the digital journal, not just the physical one, but like if you get the digital, that's also gonna be editable. So you can keep track of everything there, write them up there. Yeah.
We're massive fan of like digital tools, and I love like form fillable character sheets, and it's cool that it's becoming more prominent, but it always surprised me that it's not like everyone should make one. A lot of people are playing online now. So it's really cool to hear that you're making them, because I play solo games on my like two screens where I have everything divided
Same.
up. And
Same.
I'm like, so it's really nice to like, oh, cool. I don't have to like open a Google Doc and just kind of like make, or like Google Sheets and like make my own. So very excited for that as well.
The soundtrack is, I'm very, very excited for that. Are you, so I know you said you do make music. Are you also doing the soundtrack as well?
Yeah, I mean music. I have like a synthesizer here. So yeah, like so far I've only made like I want to say 4 or 5 songs. Like the one that you hear on the trailer, that's the only one that I've finished. But yeah, like over the next month or two, while I finish the main game, I just want to have the entire soundtrack ready. And yeah, like ambient songs, like combat songs, every single thing. So you can sort of seamlessly put that alongside you when you play. And like, I think it really helps immersion.
Absolutely. It is so impressive how much stuff you do.
It's crazy.
Like, yeah, I did all the art and I wrote the game. I'm writing the soundtrack. I'm like, oh my God, I'm bad at
it. I did the layout. I did the promo. I did the, yeah. Oh yeah, I make music. I'll just add that too. It's insane. Yeah.
Is that a little mini MPK you have over there though?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good
MPK
one.
MPK mini.
Yeah, it's a great one.
But I will say one of the stretch goals I was most excited for was the co-op rules. So how does that affect gameplay and how are you bringing co-op into it?
So the way I want to do it, I want to have very comprehensive rules that like fit different play styles, because since it's a solo game, the game plays really well as like a GM-less experience, because being a solo game, like essentially the game is like the GM, so you don't have to do anything. So for like a 2-player, 3-player plus co-op game, I think it fits really, really well. And then outside of that, I also want to do really comprehensive rules for GMs. So if you want to play the game in like a very traditional way, or like you GM the game for like 3 players or so, I want to have like designer notes, tips on how to run the game, examples of play, that sort of thing, and just like really help the player like seamlessly adapt the game into their session. Again, like being a solo game, like so much of it is super easy to use, even for other RPGs. Like if you want to use like the planet generators for any other sci-fi RPG, it's like super easy to adapt. But yeah, I really want to have like super comprehensive rules, and everything is going to be in the core book itself. So you it's going to be right in the book when you get it.
Nice. Yeah. Again, it just crazy that your first project is one of the most like beautiful, thorough projects that we've looked at in a very, very long time. So that's amazing. I know you said there's more stuff coming with the stretch goals. You hit 90K today. It's 100. It's almost $100,000, but it's 90K euros. So, I mean, hopefully we hit a couple more stretch goals, but what's after this project is done? Like, what's the future for Astro Prisma? You're already creating like 6 expansions for it. Do you have thoughts on even more, or is your, you know, when you get there, the next thought, something completely different?
So a little bit of both. Like, I really want to keep supporting the game over time. Like, I want to do like every year or two a big expansion for the game. And I also want to do like bigger setting expansions, like bigger signs, or like even a book for, I don't know, like 2 years from now or a year and a half from now. But the next immediate project after this, hopefully in like not too long, It's going to be a completely different game. It's going to be more like fantasy, magic, like sort of game. And that one is going to be multiplayer aside from solo player, but much more emphasis on like making a traditional multiplayer game. So yeah, that is all sort of my long-term goals. It's just completely different game after this one. Then after that, I like to do the first big setting expansion for Astroprisma.
Well, we look
Gotcha.
forward to your fantasy heartbreaker, because everyone's got to make their fantasy
I'm gonna
heartbreaker,
make
you know?
one.
Yeah, you have
Yeah.
to. So,
Yeah. And you also said, you know, we talked about this before this, like you're, so are you like, is, are you like a full-time designer now, especially with the way the Kickstarter's going?
I actually finished. I finished university like 6 months ago or so. So most of the support time I did when I was like finishing university. And then for like these past 6 months, I've just gone full time to finish the project. And yeah, like my idea with this Kickstarter is hopefully to like support myself to be a full-time developer until the next Kickstarter. And yeah, like the response has been so amazing. Like it's like more than enough to like keep making games full time, which is such a dream job to have. So yeah, I'm really, really thankful, really, really excited to like keep working on things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've said it over and over and over again, and I'll say it like two more times. I mean, this, it top to bottom, this is amazing. And for this to be the first thing that you put out, and for it to be this crazy, and to, you're almost hitting six figures on Kickstarter for your first project right after university is insane. So yeah, please keep doing this for a long time. Do you have any thoughts on, I know you said your background, you know, you were gearing towards more like video games and stuff like that. Is that something that you're potentially still looking forward to in the future, or is TTRPGs kind of like the pivot?
Yeah, well, as of right now, RPGs have like taken over my life. I'm definitely going to be doing this for like full time for the foreseeable future. I also want to do board games. I also love like indie board games, and over time, I want to be able to transition into those. Those that take a little bit more effort and time because you got to produce them, you got to make everything like components and things like that. So maybe that takes a little bit more time. But yeah, long term, I want to also do video games. I want to do soundtracks for games. I want to keep doing pixel art, keep doing indie games.
We might know somebody that we talk to every month who also does TTRPGs and is making board
And
games. So
loves board games,
yeah,
so.
so we'll definitely get you in contact. But yeah, do you, I don't, are you willing to say what that next stretch goal is now that you're at 90K? Or are you gonna wait for that to hit the Kickstarter page?
The next big one is that Alchemy BTT like implementation. That's the really, really big one that I've been working forward to. And then after that, I just want to keep adding things to the game. Add more spaceships, add more encounters, add more planets, like keep making content for the game.
I think it's a good decision. I feel like when people like move on to like too many like other peripherals, it takes a little longer, but to add content to what you've already got established, I think is a really like wise decision.
I also don't want to make shipping like super expensive because shipping things to the United States is from here in Europe is very expensive, especially when you get into higher weight. And I
Yeah.
want to make fishing as affordable as I can, like as normal for US backers, which is by far the biggest country that backs the game. Yeah, so I don't want to add like there's already like seven expansions, posters, like Zine journals, the core hard book. So yeah, I don't want to overdo it and like have to do like €20 or $20 of shipping. I want to keep it like as affordable and as normal as I can.
So funny, because the Mothership bundle was just like $30-something shipping for me. So I'm like, yeah, dude.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Mothership bundle was also like, you know,
it's massive too.
15
So.
pounds and about 2 years late. But the question for possible future thing, any thoughts in the future of a box in?
I tried to get a box for this, but again, it was really expensive to ship it. And I wasn't sure, like when I negotiated the things with the printing companies, I didn't know. I thought it was going to print like 600 things. I didn't know it was going to be like so such a big Kickstarter thing. So I could I'm definitely looking forward to make a box for the next game, and maybe like again for the next expansion in like a year plus 2 years from now, maybe do like a re-edition of like everything in a box. But yeah, it just I definitely want to do it, especially moving on to board games is something that I want to do. But doing it in Europe, it is really hard to find like manufacturers for everything and this sort of thing. So in the future, it's definitely I definitely want to do like boxes for my games.
Well, I mean, Miro took all the way to Miro 3 before we got a box, so I think you
Right.
got plenty of time if that's a touchdown. And I mean, it's only a little bit more than 600. It's 1,645 backers right now, so just a couple more.
Yeah.
And with almost 2 weeks left to go, you could easily hit like 2,000 backers on that. I mean, you've obviously put in an incredible amount of work. How does it feel for this being your first project to blow up this big, to have this many people so excited about the project, and to honestly raise this much money on Kickstarter, like right off the bat? What is that? I mean, I can't even imagine how that feels to kind of drop your first thing in it to be this big. So how has that been?
It feels really strange. It feels very reassuring because like working on 2 years for something on your own without showing anyone, and then all of a sudden you get all these people loving the game. That feels really good, obviously. After a point, like it's almost like you stop thinking about it. Like once I knew that I could make like enough money to keep making games as my job, I didn't really care if I did like twice as much or just that amount of money. So yeah, it just feels great. It feels great to be able to do stretch goals to like give backers like at the best product I can give. And yeah, to be able to like subsidize shipping so you get it as affordable as you can. And just use that money to make Astro Prisma the best game it can possibly be.
I mean, I think that it's kind of the fact that you did keep it completely to yourself is just so different than what so much of the indie scene does. Like, a lot of people will drip
Yeah.
out little bits and, you know, do kind of things. But you, like I said, just kind of burst on the scene. Did you just kind of wait until you felt like you were basically done and had the Kickstarter ready to
Yeah.
go to just kind of go, everybody, check this out?
Yeah, I'm not like super. I feel like I'm a very creative person. I like spending as much time as I can creating. I don't really like handling social media, posting things, like doing marketing. So if I can like do like a big marketing push before the project comes out and then during the project and then go back to making art, that's like the way I want to do it. I don't want to keep just every day like a little bit sort of thing.
I think the like almost like the mystique of anonymity and the quality of your art, like it did a lot of like I because I remember on Twitter you posting a couple of pages like fairly early on, like at least when I first saw them, and just everyone retweeting it, including myself, and just being like, look at this, what is this? I feel like that served you really well. I think that was actually a really good tactic for you know, not drip feeding the incomplete, but like, oh, here's the finished product.
Yeah, I also feel like it's something that I experienced when like because first of all I've been a fan of RPGs much longer than I've been like a designer, so when I see someone like make a game that I really like and it's like oh this is just like a teaser, you gotta wait an entire year till it actually comes out, you know I want to like as soon as I show the first thing, to be like a couple months before you can get the whole thing, available for people so.
So speaking of that, what's the timeline for this? I mean, it looks like with a lot of the spreads and stuff, you have so much done. You know, you like you said, you within a couple of months of dropping the first spreads on Twitter, the Kickstarter is already, you know, 12 days from being done. When can we expect to actually have, you know, all of this in our hands?
Yeah, I'd say graphics and layout is like 99% done. Writing too. The game, I feel like the last thing I gotta do is like all of the stretch goals. So all of the, yeah, everything that's been part of the stretch goals, and then send the game to editing and proofreading and that sort of thing. And as soon as that is done, I want to have the digital version ready for backers to play as soon as I can. I do want to post like some sort of like timetable of like, this month the game is coming out, this month I'm starting to pre-in, this month I'm gonna, it's gonna arrive to the backers and so on. So people have like a very clear idea. But yeah, the game in, you can probably get the game ready to play next month, I would say.
Wow.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
the digital version, I mean, like the physical is going to take some time, and the expansions are also going to take a little bit more time, but the core book, like fully feature complete, that's next month, it should be all ready with all the character sheets and all the maps and everything.
Can I ask who's doing your editing?
I've got like, I basically have like my team of friends that we play D&D with.
Okay. Cool.
I send them around. I have other people, whose first language is English because it's not my language. Some things that I write are a little bit strange. So yeah, I just have like, I would say 6-7 people that I send the game to, proofread it, make suggestions. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Very, very, very excited to get this digitally, especially, you know, with the co-op options and stuff like that. We don't really do, we've been trying to think for a while how to do kind of solo games here on the show. And I don't think it would be a bad idea to try to get this one to be one of the early ones when we eventually figure out how to do reviews and plays with solos on the game. But it's been, like I said, it's been a long time since I've been as excited for a solo game outside of 12 years as, you know, since this one. So this is, again, fantastic. And the fact that you have most of it done before you even got to the Kickstarter. I mean, you're making all the right moves. And
yeah,
that's just incredibly great to see. Yeah.
Yeah, we watch a lot of these projects, and you've taken a lot of steps either purposely or just intuitively to be successful.
Yeah, yeah. I think about it is just I try to do the things that I would like if I was the backer, if I was like supporting the project, just have it as, you know, because I've also been on the other side of like, I back a game on Kickstarter, I think I gotta wait like a year before I can actually like read it through and that sort of thing. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I back a couple of Kickstarters a day, it feels like. But yeah, having to wait so long, really, it does kind of take the wind out of your sails a little bit. I don't know. A lot of the things you're doing to me are really reminiscent of Cloud Empress and Watt and the focus that they
have. I was
have
thinking that as
well. I love that game. I love that game too.
Tune in on Sunday. The focus on making a complete game and all the little details, but also on, like you said, like being a player, what would the player want? And being a backer, what would the backer want? Like, it's really nice to see that, you know, there's, I'm not going to say that. It's nice to see people really focused on the fact that like the backers are backing the project so they can get it and play it. So like having them when you're making the project in mind is really nice to see. And it's really cool, like I said, that you have the player, the backer, everything at the forefront of your thoughts with all of it. So, yeah, again, just can't wait for this project. Super excited. Where can people find, because I know you don't do a lot of social media, but I there is an itch, there's the Substack. So where can people find all of your stuff, all the links, so they can keep up to date with everything that you're doing?
Yeah, I've put all my links underneath the Kickstarter. So if you scroll all the way down, you're going to find everything. Yeah, I have a Twitter at Crescent Chimera. I have a Substack also at Crescent Chimera. I have a itch.io store that I'm going to upload all of the digital contents when it releases too. That's also Crescent Chimera. And yeah, it's basically it. I also have a YouTube channel that I haven't uploaded anything yet, but I want to also start doing tutorials for the game, playthroughs, walkthroughs, as soon as I get it closer to release. Yeah.
Yeah. super excited for that. I wish more people would do that. Half the reason we do the show and the reason we do like the APs and stuff is to show people how to play. I wish more creators would like show people how to play their game. So it's really nice to, again, just another, you know, really great step that you're taking to help people go through. Because if I could sit down, look at a game, and then actually watch a creator tell me how to play it, like, that would be super exciting. So
yeah, Chris McDowell does that with all of the Into the Odd, and it's like so successful and such a great way to like plug the mechanics of what you're doing. Yeah, I look forward to that as well.
Yeah, I've been like binge watching all of his streams, all of his like as I was making the game. He's such an inspiration, such a good designer.
Yeah. So Camilla, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. It's I feel like I'm like losing my words at the time because I'm just so amazed at just like how well you've done everything, the steps you're taking, and just how beautiful this project is beginning to end. And I just really appreciate you being here and coming on and talking to us about it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for letting me come through and talk about the game.
Absolutely. Anytime. Hopefully again with your next project.
Yeah, hopefully. Please. If you have anything you want to talk about, let us know. And we'd love to have you on again. And be able to talk about it. All right, so that is going to be us for today. Again, thank you, Camilla, for being here. Thank you, everyone watching. And this will be out. It is 12 days left, and I don't even know what today is, April 5th. If you're hearing this, and it is before April 18th, go back Astro Prisma. This is not one that you are going to want to miss. So back it. And that's it.
Yeah. I just wanted to add, if it's after the end of the Kickstarter, I want to leave pre-orders on BackerKit open for a month or so. So even if it has ended, check on the Kickstarter because you might still be able to get the game.
Awesome.
Perfect. Yeah. Good Fantastic. Enough. Definitely. Again, don't miss this one. That's it. We're out. Have a good day.
That's
Bye.
It.
Bye.
Bye.